Good morning. You can call me Rick or Ricky. I really don't mind either way, so that's fine. I'm glad to see all you here this morning. And I'd like to start off with reading 1 Samuel, 17th chapter. So if you'd like to follow along. Third verse. And the Philistine stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the spear weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried out unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you all come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me, and if he be able to fight with me, to kill me, then will we be your servants, and if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Last week in Frank's Bible school class, or Sunday school class, we talked about Goliath a little bit. And he told us that at this time the Israelites were short people because of the years they spent in bondage. And Goliath, it says in here he's a cubit is 18 inches and a span is 9 inches. So in here it says he's 6 cubits and a span. So that would have put Goliath about 9 feet 9 inches. And the Israelites would have been about half that size. Or maybe he was a little less than twice their size. So they were afraid. And Saul was afraid. So it was no wonder that they didn't send anyone to fight against him. And if we go over here and continue in our reading, in verse 32, And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go up and fight this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against the Philistine and fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. You know, Saul probably thought David was a little bit silly. You know, Saul being afraid of the Philistine himself. Mostly, I would think that Saul was probably afraid of the Philistine because of his pride. You know, taking pride in his army and taking pride in his own strength, he could see that he couldn't have, you know, defeat this Philistine. And here comes David, just a little boy or young boy who thinks he can. But if we continue to read, And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. And thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And David said, moreover, that God delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, and would deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. So because of David's humility that he had, giving the Lord credit for saving him out of the from the paw of the bear and the lion, Saul was convinced to send David against Goliath. Who knows whether Saul really had faith in that at this point, but he was able to convince David. And David girded, continue on, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girt his sword upon his armor. And he essayed to go forth, or David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go forth. He had not proved it, and David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them, and David put them off. So what David's saying here is he didn't know the skills of war. He didn't know how to use the sword. So he was not going to take these things into battle with him. He was going to go just as he was. He wasn't going to put on any airs. It would have been maybe a little hypocritical for David to put on this armor to go out to battle and try to be something that he wasn't. So he was going to go just as he was, and he was going to trust in the Lord. And in his humility, he was doing that. Most of us, if we were in this situation, we had the opportunity to take a sword, we'd probably at least take the sword with us. But David didn't even do that. He left that behind, and he left it all in God's hands. So there again, David's humility showed through. He didn't take pride in himself or what he had done. He had given that all to the Lord. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 stones out of the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, and even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near unto the Philistine. And the Philistine came out and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went out before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he dismayed him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of fair countenance. And if you think about this a little bit, you know, all of Israel's army is watching this. They're, and so are the Philistines, and they see this young boy go out to do battle against Goliath. They probably thought him a fool. They probably thought he was crazy. He's going to his death. Most likely, David was the only one that could see that he had the Lord's protection. David had family that was there in the army. Maybe they said something to him. Maybe they told him he was being crazy or foolish. Or maybe not. Some of them were probably jeering a little bit, maybe poking a little bit of fun at him, calling him a fool. But he continued anyway. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said unto the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come, and then David said unto the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come unto thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and unto the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and with the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give give you into our hands, and it will come to pass that when the Philistine arose, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose, and David came and drew nigh to meet David, and David hastened and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in the bag, and he took thence the stone and the sling, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell down in his face to the earth. And David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took of his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. David went into this battle with humility, taking with him nothing more than he had. And that's really how God sees us. That's how he wants us, with humility. Nothing more than we are. No sense of pride. Not trying to be anything that we're not, something that we're not. Just coming to him and placing all our cares with him. If you turn to me to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Verses 5 through 7. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We're instructed to be clothed with humility. And if we have any pride in us, we may not be sufficiently humble. And pride can stop us from serving God. And just like David, he didn't let pride stop him from going out and doing battle against this Philistine for the Lord. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, pride can stop us. And I'm going to go ahead and bear a little testimony of something that pride has gotten in my way. And this happened back when I was working at Hallmark and working a night shift. I worked a 12-hour shift. I would get really tired and fall asleep at the wheel quite a bit. And Becky would be with me, and she would tell me, you know, I don't know how you get back and forth to work every day. You fall asleep when I'm with you. And I would tell her, oh, I don't do this when you're not with me. I'm just fine. And it was quite a worry. And I prayed over it, and I know she prayed over it. Well, one morning, and she would mention that to me quite a bit, and sometimes it kind of irritated me, and I didn't want to admit that she was right. one morning on the way home from work, I was going down 291, and at that time they were working on 291 and putting a bridge over Truman Road, and they were putting in two more lanes, and they were switching the road from one side to the other as they worked on the bridge, and they had the other bridge tore out, and they had the new bridge in, and you kind of ended up making sort of this snaky S, double S curve going through this thing. And I fell asleep before I hit the bridge, before the first turn onto the other lane. And I didn't wake up until I was at the stop sign that's at the top of the hill that goes down to the caves. And I wasn't just half asleep, sleeping with my eyes open. My eyes were shut. And I knew that because I didn't wake up until the guy behind me at the stop sign honked his horn to get me to go because the light turned green. And I kept that testimony to myself. And I didn't bring it to church and offer it because of my pride. Because I didn't want to admit to Becky that she was right. And I didn't want to give her the chance to say, I told you so. So, pride, even a small amount of pride, is very dangerous to us. And if we don't keep the kind of humility that David had, that protected him against Goliath in our lives, we're really hurting our spiritual growth, and we can hurt ourselves and each other. And it continues on, because later, as time went on, I realized how foolish that was not to give that testimony. So I thought, well, the next time I have a chance, I'd stand up and give that testimony, swallow my pride. And then it came to a sacrament Sunday, and I was sitting in my seat, and I thought I should get up and give that testimony, and I didn't, because I was embarrassed. Because I kept it to myself, and then that embarrassed me. So it just continued on. So I'm swallowing my pride today and giving this testimony. And it really is a sin to keep something like that to yourself, because I denied Becky the testimony of her prayers, knowing that her prayers were answered. So I offer that to you this morning, and kind of just to let you know, and kind of just to clear my heart as well. So as David wasn't afraid to be a fool for God, but I was. Pride is a very evil thing. It's been said that money is the root of all evil. If money is the root of all evil, then pride must be the tree. Because the fruit of pride is many. Out of pride, many sins are committed. Many things are kept secret. People lie. People do things they shouldn't do because of pride. Vanity, disobedience, the list, arrogance, selfishness. The list can go on forever. So if we have any pride within us, then most likely we have some sin with us. In Proverbs chapter 8, I'm going to read just a few short verses. You can just kind of read through them real quick. Proverbs 8, verse 13. Fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride in arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. And then Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. In Proverbs 14:3. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. And then again in Proverbs 16:17, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. This way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit than with the lowly, than to divide the spoil with the proud. A man's pride shall bring, or this is Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So we can see that pride Pride really is a millstone around our neck. If you would turn with me to Alma 3, verses 46 through 50 on page 316. And now behold, I say unto you, brethren, if ye have experienced a change of heart, and if ye have felt to sing the song of redeeming love, I would ask, can you feel so now? Have you walked keeping yourselves blameless before God? Can you say, if ye were called to die at this time within yourselves, that ye have been sufficiently humble, that your garments have been cleansed and made white with the blood of Christ, which will come to redeem his people from their sins? Behold, are ye stripped of pride? I say unto you, if ye are not prepared to meet God. If we have any pride within us, we're not prepared to meet God. If we choose to disobey God, then that's pride, because we've chosen something that's against God. And pride is what teaches us to do this. And if we've done this, we've taken pride into our hearts. If you turn again with me to Alma 16, verse 136. And now, as I said unto you, that because ye were compelled to be humble, ye were blessed. Do ye not suppose that they are more blessed who truly humble themselves because of the word? Yea, he that truly humbleth himself and repenteth of his sins and endureth to the end, the same shall be blessed, much more blessed than they who are compelled to be humble. Because of their exceeding poverty, therefore, blessed are they who humble themselves without being compelled to be humble. Or rather, in other words, blessed is he that believeth in the word of God and is baptized without stubbornness of heart, without being brought to know the word or even compelled to know, because they will believe. Sometimes if we wait until we're compelled to let go of pride, we might have to endure a little bit of chastisement along the way, or we might have to have some sort of trial, some sort of tribulation in our life to teach us to let go of that pride, or teach us to obey God. It would be better for us that if we would choose to do it, not have to be compelled. We wouldn't have to suffer the pain that would give us. And we wouldn't have to endure the hardships. So I guess if like all of us, occasionally we do disobey. And we do this because we all do have a little bit of pride within us that causes us to do this. But it would be better with us if we could choose, and if we would choose, to obey God and totally submit ourselves in humility and humbly follow the word of God and always obey him. Then we could avoid all those trials and chastisements and pitfalls along the way. Um, For my final scripture, if you would turn with me to 2 Nephi, on page 161. Verses 13, or 7 through 9. Now if the Lamb of God being holy, and should have need to be baptized by water to fulfill all righteousness, oh then how much more need have we, being unholy, be baptized, yea, even by water? And now I would ask of you, my beloved brethren, wherein the Lamb of God did fulfill all righteousness in being baptized by water, know ye not that he was holy? But notwithstanding, he being holy, he showed unto the children of men that according to the flesh he humbleth himself before the Father, and witnessed unto the Father that he would be obedient unto him in keeping his commandments. By example, Christ suffered the ultimate humility. He died on the cross by his Father's commandment and suffered for our sins. And even just as it says in Nephi, he humbled himself to fulfill all commandments. And we're not asked to do any less. We are expected to be followers of Christ and to follow his example. I'd like to read hymn just as my closing. Hymn 181, it's Just As I Am. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me to come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict and many a doubt, fightings and fears within me without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I do believe, O Lamb of God, I come. So as David set aside all his humility and became a fool for God, even though those around him were probably telling him that he was that, just that, that's how we need to be, taking on all humility and obeying his commandments and eager to be a fool for God. Thank you.